New heading. Six paradigms of human interaction. Win-win is not a technique. It's a total philosophy of human interaction. In fact, it is one of six paradigms of interaction. The alternative paradigms are win-lose, lose-win, lose-lose, win, and win-win or no deal. We'll explore each one in turn. Win-win. Win-win is a frame of mind and heart that constantly seeks mutual benefit in all human interactions. This mutual benefit is based on mutual respect. Win-win means that agreements or solutions are mutually beneficial, mutually satisfying. With a win-win solution, all parties feel good about the decision and feel committed to the action plan. Win-win sees life as a cooperative, not a competitive arena. Most people tend to think in terms of dichotomies, strong or weak, hardball or softball, win or lose. But that kind of thinking is fundamentally flawed. It's based on power and position rather than on principle. Win-win is based on the paradigm that there is plenty for everybody, and that one person's success is not achieved at the expense or exclusion of the success of others. Win-win is a belief in the third alternative. It's not your way or my way. It's a better way, a higher way. Win-lose. One alternative to win-win is win-lose, the paradigm of the race to Bermuda. It says, if I win, you lose. In leadership style, win-lose is the authoritarian approach. I get my way, you don't get yours. My way or the highway? Win-lose people are prone to use position, powers, credentials, possessions, or personality to get their way. Most people have been deeply scripted in the win-lose mentality since birth. First and most important of the powerful forces at work is the family. When one child is compared with another, when patience, understanding, or love is given or withdrawn on the basis of such comparisons, people are into win-lose thinking. Whenever love is given on a conditional basis, when someone has to earn love, what's being communicated to them is that they are not intrinsically valuable or lovable. Value does not lie inside them, it lies outside. It's in comparison with somebody else or against some expectation. What happens to a young heart and mind, highly vulnerable, highly dependent upon the support and emotional affirmation of the parents in the face of conditional love? The child is molded, shaped and programmed in the win-lose mentality. If I'm better than my brother, my parents will love me more. My parents don't love me as much as they love my sister. I must not be as valuable. Another powerful scripting agency is the peer group. A child first wants acceptance from his parents and then from his peers, whether they be siblings or friends. And we all know how cruel peers sometimes can be. They often accept or reject totally on the basis of conformity to their expectations and norms, providing additional scripting toward win-lose. The academic world reinforces win-lose scripting. The normal distribution curve basically says that you got an A because someone else got a C. It interprets an individual's value by comparing him or her to everyone else. No recognition is given to intrinsic value. Everyone is extrinsically defined. Oh, how nice it is to see you at our PTA meeting. You ought to be really proud of your daughter, Carolyn. She's in the upper 10%. That makes me feel so good. But your son, Johnny, is in trouble. He's in the lower quartile. Really? Oh, that's terrible. What can we do about it? What this kind of comparative information doesn't tell you is that perhaps Johnny is going on all eight cylinders, while Carolyn is coasting on four of her eight. But people are not graded against their potential or against the full use of their present capacity. They are graded in relation to other people, and grades are carriers of social value. They open doors of opportunity, or they close them. Competition, not cooperation, lies at the core of the educational process. Cooperation, in fact, is usually associated with cheating. Another powerful programming agent is athletics, particularly for young men in their high school or college years. Often they develop the basic paradigm that life is a big game, a zero-sum game, where some win and some lose. Winning is beating in the athletic arena. Another agent is law. We live in a litigious society. The first thing many people think about when they get into trouble is suing someone, taking them to court, winning at someone else's expense. But defensive minds are neither creative nor cooperative. Certainly we need law, or else society will deteriorate. It provides survival, but it doesn't create synergy. At best, it results in compromise. Law is based on an adversarial concept. The recent trend of encouraging lawyers and law schools to focus on peaceable negotiation, the techniques of win-win, and the use of private courts may not provide the ultimate solution, but it does reflect a growing awareness of the problem. Certainly there is a place for win-lose thinking in truly competitive and low-trust situations, but most of life is not a competition. We don't have to live each day competing with our spouse, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors, and our friends. Who's winning in your marriage is a ridiculous question. If both people aren't winning, both are losing. Most of life is an interdependent, not an independent reality. Most results you want depend on cooperation between you and others. And the win-lose mentality is dysfunctional to that cooperation. Lose-win. Some people are programmed the other way. Lose-win. I lose, you win. Go ahead, have your way with me. Step on me again, everyone does. I'm a loser, I've always been a loser. I'm a peacemaker, I'll do anything to keep peace. Lose-win, in a sense, is worse than win-lose because it has no standards. No demands, no expectations, no vision. People who think lose-win are usually quick to please or appease. They seek strength from popularity or acceptance. They have little courage to express their own feelings and convictions and are easily intimidated by the ego's strength of others. In negotiation, lose-win is seen as capitulation, giving in or giving up. In leadership style, it's permissiveness or indulgence. Lose-win means being a nice guy, even if nice guys finish last. Win-lose people love lose-win people because they can feed on them. They love their weaknesses. They take advantage of them. Such weaknesses complement their strengths. But the problem is that lose-win people bury a lot of feelings. And unexpressed feelings never die. They're buried alive and come forth later in uglier ways. Psychosomatic illnesses, particularly of the respiratory, nervous, and circulatory systems, often are the reincarnation of cumulative resentment, deep disappointment, and disillusionment repressed by a lose-win mentality. Disproportionate rage or anger, overreaction to minor provocation, and cynicism are other embodiments of suppressed emotion. People who are constantly repressing, not transcending feelings toward higher meaning, find that it affects the quality of their self-esteem and eventually the quality of their relationships with others. Both win-lose and lose-win are weak positions, based in personal insecurities. In the short run, win-lose will produce more results because it draws on the often considerable strengths and talents of the people at the top. Lose-win is weak and chaotic from the outset. Many executives, managers, and parents swing back and forth, as if on a pendulum, from win-lose inconsideration to lose-win indulgence and cowardice. When they can't stand confusion and lack of structure, direction, expectation, and discipline any longer, They swing back to win-lose until guilt undermines their resolves and drives them back again to lose-win, until anger and frustration drive them back to win-lose again. Lose-lose. When two win-lose people get together, that is, when two determined, stubborn, ego-invested individuals interact, the result will be lose-lose. Both will lose. Both will become vindictive and want to get back or get even, blind to the fact that murder is suicide, that revenge is a two-edged sword. I know of a divorce in which the husband was directed by the judge to sell the assets and turn over half the proceeds to his ex-wife. In compliance, he sold a car worth over $10,000 for $50 and gave $25 to the wife. When the wife protested, the court clerk checked on the situation and discovered that the husband was proceeding in the same matter systematically through all of the assets. Some people become so centered on an enemy, so totally obsessed with the behavior of another person, that they become blind to everything except their desire for that person to lose, even if it means losing themselves. Lose-lose is the philosophy of adversarial conflict, the philosophy of war. Lose-lose is also the philosophy of the highly dependent person without inner direction, who is miserable and thinks everyone else should be too. If nobody ever wins, perhaps being a loser isn't so bad, they might say. Win. Another common alternative is simply to think, win. People with the win mentality don't necessarily want someone else to lose. That's irrelevant. What matters is that they get what they want. When there's no sense of contest or competition, win is probably the most common approach in everyday negotiation. A person with a win mentality thinks in terms of securing his own ends and leaving it to others to secure theirs. New heading. Which option is best? Of these five philosophies discussed so far, win-win, win-lose, lose-win, lose-lose, and win, which is the most effective? The answer? It depends. If you win a football game, that means the other team loses. If you work in a regional office that is miles away from another regional office, and you don't have any functional relationship between the offices, you may want to compete in a win-lose situation to stimulate business. However, you would not want to set up a win-lose situation like the Race to Bermuda contest within a company or in a situation where you need cooperation among people or groups of people to achieve maximum success. If you value a relationship and the issue isn't really that important, you may want to go for lose-win in some circumstances to genuinely affirm the other person. What I want isn't as important to me as my relationship with you. Let's do it your way this time. You might also go for lose-win if you feel the expense of time and effort to achieve a win of any kind would violate other higher values. Maybe it just isn't worth it. There are circumstances in which you would want to win, and you wouldn't be highly concerned with the relationship of that win to others. If your child's life were in danger, for example, you might be peripherally concerned about other people and circumstances, but saving that life would be supremely important. The best choice, then, depends on reality. The challenge is to read that reality accurately and not to translate win-lose or other scripting into every situation. Most situations, in fact, are part of an interdependent reality, and then win-win is really the only viable alternative of the five. Win-lose is not viable because although I appear to win in the confrontation with you, your feelings, your attitudes toward me, and our relationship have been affected. If I am a supplier to your company, for example, and I win on my terms in a particular negotiation, I may get what I want now. But will you come to me again? My short-term win will really be a long-term lose if I don't get your repeat business. So an interdependent win-lose is really lose-lose in the long run. If we come up with a lose-win, you may appear to get what you want for the moment. But how will that affect my attitude about working with you, about fulfilling the contract? I may not feel as anxious to please you. I may carry battle scars with me into the future negotiations. My attitude about you and your company may be spread as I associate with others in the industry. So we're into lose-lose again. Lose-lose obviously isn't viable in any context. And if I focus on my own win and don't even consider your point of view, there's no basis for any kind of productive relationship. In the long run, if it isn't a win for both of us, we both lose. That's why win-win is the only real alternative in interdependent realities. I worked with a client once, the president of a large chain of retail stores, who said, "Stephen, this win-win idea sounds good, but it is so idealistic. The tough, realistic business world isn't like that. There's win-lose everywhere, and if you're not out there playing the game, you just can't make it." "All right," I said, "try going for win-lose with your customers. Is that realistic?" "Well, no," he replied. "Why not?" "Well, I'd lose my customers." "Then go for lose-win. Give the store away. Is that realistic?" "No. No margin, no mission." As we considered the various alternatives, win-win appeared to be the only truly realistic approach. Not just idealistic, but realistic. "Well, I guess that's true with customers," he admitted, "but not with suppliers." "You are the customer of the supplier," I said. "Why doesn't the same principle apply?" He responded, "Well, we recently renegotiated our lease arrangements with the mall operators and owners. We went in with a win-win attitude. We were open, reasonable, conciliatory. But they saw that as being soft and weak, and they took us to the cleaners." "Well, why did you go for lose-win?" I asked. "We didn't. We went for win-win." "I thought you said they took you to the cleaners." "They did. In other words, you lost." "That's right." "And they won." "That's right." "So what's that called?" When he realized that what he had called win-win was really lose-win, he was shocked. As we examined the long-term impact of that lose-win, the suppressed feelings, the trampled values, the resentment that seethed under the surface of the relationship, we agreed that it was really a loss for both parties in the end. If this man had had a real win-win attitude, he would have stayed longer in the communication process, listened to the mall owner more, then expressed his point of view with more courage. He would have continued in the win-win spirit until a solution was reached and they both felt good about it. And that solution, that third alternative, would have been synergistic, probably something neither of them had thought of on his own.